But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an acaso, where resolves are compelled with Apostle Epher Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of His word. You will be blessed.
I believe it is projected. Verse 16. Please, if you can see it, can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's read together at the count of two. One, two, go. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has He given to the children of men. Now, maybe you read it again for the sake of emphasis. One, two, go. Part of the things I am trying to emphasize by having us read this scripture again and again, it is to understand the protocol of the space where we find habitation. Every environment has protocols. There are acceptable behaviors in every space. There is a way you behave in certain spaces that is acceptable, and it would totally be against the protocol of another space. For instance, when you approach the palace of a king, a monarch, journey towards the north, you will be required to take off your shoes, no matter how dignified you are. It is part of the protocol of that space. And no matter how high-minded you are, you must comply with that protocol if you enjoy favor in that space. The easiest way to enter disfavor is to ignore the protocol of the space. And every space has protocols. If you are with me so far, say amen. There is so much arrogance in our generation. So much ignorance, you know, parading themselves like knowledge. Every space has what? You know, I know you will not answer. It's part of the arrogance I was talking about. You see, Jews, normally, they grow their beards. It's part of their culture. But the day Pharaoh sent for Joseph, he needed to shave because he knows that if he must enjoy favor in the palace of an Egyptian king, he must take a frame that submits to their own way. That is the protocol of the palace. So he shaved his beard. Mind you, the average Jew, when your beard is shaved, is part of an insult, it's a curse. You will have to be detached from the people for a while until it comes back. But a man intentionally by himself shaved his beard, because he understood the protocol of that space he was going to. There are too many people here blaming God, blaming the devil. You know, I was sharing with you yesterday from Isaiah chapter 60, from verse 2. I was showing you how Satan does not know many people. Demons don't even know you yet. You are just a victim of atmosphere. The darkness that covers the earth is what has dominated you. Gross darkness has not come for you yet. The one that is targeted for people, they have not even known you. No demon can say, "I know your name." You are just a victim of an atmosphere, the thing that masters your space. And the day you are able to overcome the darkness that masters atmosphere, it is that first time people, creatures, will know your name. That's where they will form particular weapons with you in mind and say, "Go and bring this one down." But for a majority of the church, that thing you are saying is not easy. The devil is not the devil. The devil does not know you. How many people are busy complaining? You know that they have done all their best, but yet it looking like God is taking them through delay. And if you inquire carefully, they have dishonored protocols. There are things in the environment they want to enter that they have refused to submit to. There are particular patterns, behaviors that you must comply with so that you can receive the favor of that space. Every space has a protocol. The presence of God also has a protocol. You don't stroll your way into it. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear that there is a way to enter. He says, enter into his presence with thanksgiving. Huh? And into his courts with what? Praises. The Message translation says, enter into his presence with the password. Thank you. It's a protocol. It's a protocol. No matter how aggrieved you are, just say, you, as you just wake up, you just started blasting in tongues. And the believer does not know that he has kept protocol. You will now invest 20 hours. And you will wonder why somebody who just got up and began to sing the greatness of God, began to adore his name, call him great names, and spent only 3 minutes and say, this is what is happening in my life. I know you have done it before. This one will not be hard for you. You will see between you who is a warrior, devoting hours in sweat, you have violated protocol. And God is not a respecter of persons. There is something about principles. Principles are also not respecter of persons. If a black man add 1 plus 1, it will be 2. If a white man adds it, it will be 2. You don't need to have relationship with God to benefit from the principles of the kingdom. You can isolate God and still use the principles of the kingdom. This is such a very heavy tragedy the Lord showed me recently. There is so much going on that looks like the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but it is just principles people are teaching. Many don't know the Lord. They don't know him. They don't want to know him. They are just interested in the principles of the kingdom that makes for our benefit. You will sit with them for 1 year. They have mastered the keys of increase. They know the laws of prosperity, but they don't even know the God that has made these things available. And from many altars, it will remain principles from January to December. You will not know when you have pushed Jesus out of the Christian faith. It is no longer about Jesus. The real thing we are serving is ourselves. Anything that can help us get our desired end. So God has become a means to an end. He is not the end for us anymore. Sir, may God bless you. May God bless you. The scripture says in Psalm 115 verse 16, it says, the heaven, even the heavens, belongs to the Lord, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. Please, is that in your Bible? So now let's contemplate on that truth. I will share only few scriptures with us this evening, because we trust God that, you know, his purposes are already coming to pass. What that scripture is saying is that as long as it concerns heaven, all the heavens, don't bother yourself with the control of that space. Leave the government of that space. Leave it to the Lord. As long as it concerns heaven, don't bother yourself with the performance of that space. Leave it to the Lord. He says, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. Meaning, since the earth is under the control of the sons of men, even God will have to obey the protocol that concerns the earth. So if God wants to enter the earth, God will require a body. The earth is for men, and men have bodies. The earth is not for spirits. And so, since that is part of the protocol of this space, God will have to obey that protocol. And since it is that protocol God must obey, this is what becomes a particular area of interest for the princes in darkness that be. They know that God can have many initiatives, but if God cannot subscript a man, if God cannot find a man, all of God's intention will remain with him in the heavens. The scripture says, forever, O God, thy word is settled. Guess where it is settled? Only in heaven. He has many things he wants to come to pass, but those things are settled in heaven. How will it enter time? That's where they fight. In case you don't know, I shared with you yesterday in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, the Bible says Satan, the god of this world, he has mastered the space. He has set up systems. He had polluted the whole atmosphere so that the normal thing you interact with when you journey in the cosmos are layers of pollution, so that it will be hard for God to find a man. From time and time and time again, you will find a particular question being mentioned in the throne eternal. Who will go for us? Who will I send? Over 7 billion people, 8 billion people upon the face of the globe. and God cannot find a man. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 20, the Bible says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of clay. Some to honor, some to dishonor. It says, if a man can purge himself, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Which great house? The earth as you know it. You know why the Bible took time to show a dichotomy between the various types and assortments of vessels that there be? He began by telling you that in a great house, Satan also have envoys and vessels. He too can put his work. He can, another way to render those, the Bible calls them the gates of hell. And every time they show that Zion has candidates, they must also mention that there are initiatives from the other camp. Jesus says, I will build this church, my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let me give you some small, you know, signs of a gate of hell. You will be with a gate of hell like this. Eh? Your mother will be sick. You will be crying, begging him. You will say there is no money. He will take you to a beer parlor and spend 40,000 on your head. He is not interested in anything that does not lead you to damnation. His resources is always channeled more towards the level of corruption he can draw you to. And a gate of hell is not committed to you for long. The moment you have become addicted to that way of life, he will detach from you because he's a soul winner. He knows that one day you too, you will go and recruit another. So he is on a mission. He is an evangelist. Apostles in darkness. And we don't know. A gate of hell will wait. Waiting for your vulnerable season. He knows that you will hit a very terrible season soon. And so he will wait. So when all hopes prove abortive, he will now come to a gate of hell. He has been waiting for that chance. And said, jam is about to close. And I don't know where I will register from. What I'm trying to say with everything I'm saying is that we are not alone. We are not alone. And all of us are not human beings. There are people that are of their father, the devil. The real... Can I share something with you? You know what the Bible says? I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your seed, Satan. It means the serpent will have seed. There are people amongst us that are not with us, and you can never win their soul. They know who they are. They have embraced it. No matter your evangelism, when you meet them, you must be able to discern that this one is mind, his allegiance. Okay, let me ask you one question. Just one. How do you explain a lady, a girl, who is supposed to be naturally endowed with some level of, you know, secrecy and shyness and all of that? She now puts her nakedness on public display and have sexual intercourse and have people video her and put it online. The pornography you watch, it takes a level of departure for a human being to come to that point. And they are not concerned that one day there will be mothers. They are not concerned that what example do I set for my children. They are not like you. They are inspired. They too, there is a master that is calling them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It is through them that corruption will spread in the face of the earth. It is through them that the level of defilement, it will begin to become unbearable even for the elect. You are my witness. We finished one meeting. I was teaching on the subject, Ye Are Gods, Psalm 82. And I was emphasizing. I was repeating it. I was telling them. Because at that time, the Holy Ghost just, you know, there are things you think you know. But a season, God will make it clearer. He just convinced me that I came from the stock of gods. And so I began to reiterate it to the people. Ye are gods. You are children of the Most High God. God cannot produce anything short of himself. I was speaking it. I preached that sermon on a Friday. on Saturday I was going to get something around the market. So I just came out of the car. I was walking. A man from nowhere, came and stood in my front and pointed at me and said, you are not a god. The devil is the god of this world. You see, that consciousness you are sustaining on your inside is a threat to a kingdom. And they can see what you believe. They know what your persuasions are by a particular visage you maintain spiritually. So if you are a fake man, they don't need much test to know who you are. By looking at you, they say, what who told this one is a god? So there was need for physical confrontation. Say, you are not a god. The devil is the god of this world. Then he turned and walked away. And I laughed. I knew we were not alone. We're not alone. You go and sit down in an exam hall just with your brain alone, thinking that everybody is like you. The days of the Nephilim are still here. It's just that the giants are no longer giants in stature again. We're talking about intellectual giants. People who would come with a superior intelligence on many fronts. You too, you must draw something with priesthood. If we can compete, hey, Jesus. If you missed the morning session, it is important you listen to it. It's a very important place to start what we are discussing this night. Don't be distracted. See, look at me. It's this kind of thing that causes the distraction for you. If Jesus wants to enter and show his mercy to a human being, who can be a vessel of mercy? If Jesus wants to show his power, who can be a channel of power? I hope you know that it's not every cable that plays the same role, man of God. There are cables that are connection cables. They use them for wiring within the confine of the house. There are other cables that are high tension cables. Their own work is to carry high voltage directly from plants to a whole city. We will not play the same role in the body of Christ. And we were not designed or anybody planned to play a better role than another. Everybody will be given a chance to enter time, and through capacity building. The protocols that makes for capacity building are already on ground. One of it, the Bible speaking in Jude chapter 1, verse 20, it says, building up yourself. You, by yourself, build yourself in your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So, you gave 1 hour this night. You gave 1 hour tomorrow. 1 hour tomorrow. Another brother only prays for 30 minutes once a week. And he says the grace of, that he has knowledge. That is because of lack of knowledge you are doing what you are doing. That there is a realm you will enter. You will know that some things, they are already covered by Jesus. What he does not understand is that you are securing capacity. And when God has different purposes to be prosecuted on the earth, not everybody can handle those purposes. It is men who have stretched themselves. Capacity building. When you are laboring on the word, nobody will know yet. You wake up before you eat. The Holy Ghost says, eat the word first. Then you stay on the word. Somebody else is looking at you and saying, me, you know, those of us who have the grace and the supply of the mercy of God. He said, me, when I open a scripture, just one scripture, things will just start coming. He will not know the difference between you and him yet. It is after 10 years. He will continue to do that brook of inspiration. And a time will come, he will find out he cannot build line upon line and precept upon precept. The totality of his work will be inspiration. You know what? God's servant, Pastor Tony Ritchie, was sharing. Those were the emphasis of God's word for us this morning. I emphasize again, go and get that teaching. It is an echo for the season. Stay on it. Let it be a guide for a retreat. Just hide there. Hide. And since the earth belongs to the sons of men, I want to show you something. The earth, according to scripture, they did not say belongs to the sons of God. It is the sons of men. It means, as long as you are a man, you have a legal backing in the earth. As long as you are a man, even you too, you can resist God and prevail if it is earth. If you fight in your own atmosphere, you have advantage. Just imagine a shark and a monkey fix a fight in the water. The shark must win. The reason is because his ecosystem supports him. If you take that fight out of the water, the monkey already knows he will win because his ecosystem supports him. This is why no matter how much you walk in disobedience, the place God is waiting for your judgment is eternity. Finish from your place you are hiding, says, come and meet me. You can use the investment of God's gifting upon your life and affront the agenda of another kingdom. Not even God can truncate it in this side. You will push what you are pushing and build your empire. Then you will come and give account at the end of the day. Because the earth belongs to the sons of men. I want to bring a sense of responsibility to us so that you will know that it is not actually God that needs to do anything for you here again. It is you who is responsible for the outcome of the things on this space. The place God will move for you is in the heavens, because everything that must happen for your life, it will be done for you on earth as it already is in heaven. So God will go ahead of you, but the person who will bring that work into this space is you. When it was time for Jesus to teach the people effective prayer, he says, pray in this manner: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is prayer. You are asking that I permit what you have planned to do in heaven, let it happen like this on earth. The problem in what I'm sharing is that since the earth belongs to the sons of men, anybody who maximizes the protocols of priesthood will prevail. You don't have to be of light or of darkness to prevail. And I shared an example in the morning conference where I taught about the Gentile king that offered his firstborn son on the wall and indignation broke out against Israel. That in the altar of sacrifice, he had a louder voice. So not even God can go against that protocol. You will see after this convergence that the many prayers, oh God, most of the times it's not necessary. Your work now is to confront the mountains. Say unto this mountain. The reason is that the totality of what God intends to do is to inhabit you, use you as a funnel, a pipe. You know what iniquity does? The life of sin, it obstructs your capacity to have a flow. So it will block, create blockage in the pipe. Things will enter from the eternal realm, but they cannot flow into time because iniquity have created blockade. And then when Satan sees that you are so gifted and there is the visibility of God around your life and men are drawn towards you, he will not block it totally. He will create small openings so that the fluid will still pass, but before it passes, it would have mixed with the content that blocks it. So you will become a channel of pollution. Anybody who is around you, they will be corrupted on the ground that they think they came to see God through you, but you have become a channel where men enter into layers of corruption from. Unfortunately, what I just said is the particular affront, the attack of Satan on the pulpit. A great majority of the ministers of the gospel, this is exactly what Satan wants from them. He will hide their iniquity and nobody will know. Only him and them know that they belong to him. And they will continue to nurse that secret infirmity. And he knows that anything they do, no matter how loud they shout the name of Jesus. No, it's not about what you said. It is the ratings of spirit. What particular energy are you releasing? People will now sit down under you from January to December, and the fornicator is still a fornicator. So of what use is the presence of God? I thought the Bible says in his presence there is liberty. My emphasis this evening is to draw our attention to do a quick appraisal. We are all vessels. That is established already. We just need now to know, whose vessel am I? The question is not as regarding what you choose to say with your mouth. It is, look at your life. What is entering time through you? Let's pray for 1 minute, please. I sense in my spirit. Just 1 minute. 1 minute. I won't give you a prayer point. I won't give you a prayer point. I won't give you a prayer point. Oh, Holy Ghost. Oh, Holy Ghost. Oh, Holy Ghost. How many times we resist His presence through our lifestyle? We resist His presence through the lack of alignment, through the secret iniquity in our hearts. And He cannot move even in His house anymore, because those who represent His interest are corrupted. How many people sitting here can accurately lift up their hands that only God has found expression through their vessel? Or you are oscillating. Satan can talk through you briefly, then God will use you briefly. Ah, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Such a man should not expect anything valuable from the Lord. Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal: let any man that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. That is the only way to bear His holy oracles. You can't continue to walk in secret abomination and be naming the name of the Lord. Those days are over. Can you pray that prayer? Lord, help me. Help me. I know you have depicted yourself to men as a giant, that you are a cherub, you have mastered the art of His presence. But can you come? Can you come as open as you can? Humble yourself before Him this night. Holy Ghost, I know there is more you want to do, but I have continued to stand in your way. I have resisted your works through my lack of alignment. Tonight, clear anything in my life. Remove every obstruction. Some of you, it is a habit and it must leave. Every obstruction, every resistance. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 12 verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the Lord, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How many of us have consecrated our bodies with vows? I'm not talking vows of emotional outburst. It was Job that said, I made a covenant with my eye. You see, the things we are talking about, if we truly follow those who through faith have obtained promises, we must emulate their patterns. There were covenants that was guiding what Job can see. You can sit down and watch any movie. Can sit down, watch any video, and at the end of the day you say, Kai, it's not easy. These men were fortifying and guarding the gates. They knew that if he can enter the heart, it will enter the life. The biggest challenge is what I'm still echoing. You know, time is not on our side, so I'm trying to summarize what I'm saying quickly. The biggest challenge is that God has a need, but the men that can bring it into this space, the world of men, the devil makes sure he disqualifies. And how he does that is that he implants all kinds of infirmities so that God cannot move through them. Can we submit ourselves this night like that ass, that coat of an ass that Jesus will ride? The good thing is when Jesus riding you and using your life, when people are spraying their clothes and putting the palms on the ground, it is you that will be stepping on it. You will enjoy. I read something funny. Two donkeys were gisting, you know, at the gates of Jerusalem, and one of the donkeys was so bitter, he was telling the other one that men are so wicked that he does not believe they can change so suddenly. You will not believe it, that by this time yesterday they were saluting me, that they were calling me names, they were throwing their clothes on the ground. My leg did not touch this normal ground, but I look at them today, nobody is looking at me. And so the other donkey told him that yes, it was because of who you were carrying. I don't know whether your life has carried Jesus, because the real beauty, the real glory of your life is who has mounted you. All of us are vessels. You, that one, no matter how much you argue, you are a spirit, must have used you by the end of your life. Everybody must be used. The thing you can choose is who will use me. But by the end of the day, all of us will be used. Everybody will be a servant. You must have served something at the end of time. Your only decision is you can choose who you will serve. And so, part of the strongest need in the kingdom had been accurate vessels that can bring God's will into the earth. It will interest you to know that I am aware of the schedules of some of the servants of God here. And sometimes for a whole month, you may sleep on your bed for maybe twice in a whole month, bouncing from one city to another, from one hotel room to another, from one meeting to another. Is it how God designed it? No. The reason is what I want to tell you. The men who bear the testimony of Jesus are very few. It is nothing to celebrate when you are so busy, when your itinerary is so booked. It is a report card that your generation have only few men. It's not a joyful thing to say you are very sought after. It's not. It is a corporate result that we have failed as regarding the capacity to bring sufficient witness to our generation. It's only few people. So those few people will continue to put pressure on them. Before you know, they age before their time. And many people listening to me now, God has a clear-cut agenda for their life. In fact, there are gatekeepers, there are watchmen that have never watched, they have never kept the watch hour. And that is their allotment. The scripture will perpetually continue to show us that there are different allotments of responsibility in the kingdom. And I'm saying these things in order to establish this other point. There is nothing you are doing here that we don't have a particular reference from the camp of our spiritual brethren. For instance, maybe you labored in God and you were able to enter into your prophetic ordination. There are prophets in the spiritual clan. It was John the Beloved that saw a man during his encounters in the revelations, and he wanted to bend down and worship the angel, and the angel says, "See that thou do it not." He says, "I am one of thy fellow brethren from the company of the prophets." So, I am a brethren like you. I'm a fellow servant, but I belong to the camp of prophets. Spiritually, we are those who keep the scrolls of prophecy. So, prophets spiritually will partner with prophets physically. In the battle of Jericho, the captain of God's physical army, Joshua, he saw a man stood with his sword drawn, and he advanced and went to meet the man and said, in other words, I think I know what he was trying to tell him. Choose your next set of words carefully. Are you for us or against us? And the man unveiled to him that in the host of heaven, we also have captains there. There is a military battalion in heaven too. He says, I'm neither for you nor against you. Oh, but I am the captain of the host of God. So a captain will come for a captain. In heaven, we also have media guys, people who broadcast the news of God. If you like, be doing all kinds of political manipulation, you will not be known until a media guy from heaven announce your name. And anytime God wants to do something, he will send a guy that broadcasts. He will enter the earth and declare it. In heaven, we also have priests, people who burn incense, making sure that the fire never goes out. So Zachariah will be carrying out his priestly duties. And then the angel Gabriel will appear to him. Huh? And when Gabriel is done speaking with him, Zechariah now doubted. So Gabriel now said, I don't understand the premise of this doubt. I am Gabriel that stands. Guess who Zechariah is? Zechariah is also a man that stands. It's not everybody that stands in the presence of God. They choose one man who will go and represent Israel. Stand on behalf of them. So an angel that stand will come for a man that stand. Listen, don't clap. In priesthood, when you become faithful to what they have given you to do, part of the encouragement they give you is that they allow you to meet your spiritual brethren. You will connect with those who are doing that thing you are doing. They will let you and them have interactions. I am persuaded. Remove keyboard, remove drum, man of God, and many churches will shut down. Honestly speaking, there's no presence. It's just emotional charge they are using. They know when to shout on the peak of their voice, so people will fear. And so they say it's power. Of many of these things, let's go back to what the elders persecuted. You and a demon in the field, just both of you. Let's see whether you say clash the cymbal. It is he that is in you, the person in you, it is that kind of power you can wield in that day. And if you don't have him, it will be clear. I was sharing something in the morning session. A majority of our followers don't really know God. They are just looking for the various ideas and inspirations we have trapped. They don't even have time to study for themselves. I was teaching them that is why in a place where heresy and falsehood is being preached, you are still wondering why you have so many people there, because they are not willing to search the scripture by themselves. They just want, please, can you tell us what God told you? They don't want to know God. And the Bible says, them that don't know their God. You will need to know him for yourself. Only then you will be strong, and then you will do exploits. And so tonight, as we conclude, what dimension of God can you pipe into the world? What dimension of God can flow into time on account of your alignment? What dimension of God can you bring into time as a channel, as a vessel? And there are different levels of consecration required for different kinds of visitation of God. If you want to bring God's presence, the consecration requirement is higher. Is higher, because for you to bring the presence of God, you yourself must first be a benefactor. You must have spent time with that presence. I'm trying to say that every man is a container, is a vessel in a great house. The Bible says there are many vessels. The only thing you can actually differentiate or you can differ in is what type of vessel are you, but you are a vessel. He says some to honor, some to dishonor. There are vessels of gold, of silver, there are vessels of wood and of clay. If they want to serve a king, if they want to minister to a royal, it must have to be gold and silver. So it means anytime God has an agenda and he is a monarch. He will need vessels in that context, that metaphor, who are gold and silver. But there are also a multitude of other vessels who don't realize yet that they are vessels. This is why on that day, people will show up and say, in thy name, and he will say, depart from me. You walked, but your walk was for iniquity. You were a vessel. All of us are vessels. All of us are workers. By the end of the day, everybody must have done something. The only question is, which kingdom did your labor affront? How many families are going through ungodly patterns? How many people are sick all around you with the signature of wickedness written on it? This one is not just the, you know, effect of maybe poor living conditions or anything. It is particularly the finger of demonic spirits. But nobody in that space has the capacity to command deliverance for such a one, because the day you are healed is not the day God wants to heal you. The day you are healed is when a man who can bring that dimension of God into that situation shows up. The man by the pool will remain there until Jesus shows up. That is not the day allotted by destiny. There is nothing that I know when God wants to do it, he will do it. I told you that take responsibility for what happens in the earth. We are the ones in charge of this place. How many people will continue to sit in abject poverty? Not because they don't work hard. Everybody reads, everybody study. They even come out with very good results. But there are spiritual handwritings that continue to undo their effort. He says to wake up early and sleep late at night, only to eat the bread of sorrow. It continues to be the track record, the pattern in the life of everybody in the family. Guess what? They continue to go to school doing the same thing and expecting a different result. And it is clear from the ancestors that school is not the only solution in this family. There is a particular energy of darkness that resists the rising of men. It will take priesthood to uproot it. Who can become that vessel that God can use in that family? This is the particular challenge in the camp. It is that God wants to move, but the men who will bring his works into time are not available. Who will go for us? Who will I send? That continues to be the echo, the question over this generation. Who will go for us when a territory has been thrown into reckless abandonment? When lust begins to ravage a people and God wants to ignite the fire of revival again? Who would God set on fire? None. There is a great need in the world of spirits. God needs men. But there are over 9 billion people now on the face of the globe, and God cannot find a man. Who would go for us? Who would burn so that others can catch fire from that inferno? None. You know the funny thing about what I'm sharing? Everybody sitting here is thinking that, you know, on one day God will just do something supernatural. The protocol that makes for securing God's attention has been unveiled. Some of you, while listening to me, you know you are just pretending. You are trying to remove it from your heart. There is a burden. The state of the affairs of things in your family has cost you a lot of heartache. And you know, if only you can be consistent with God, but you cannot help but go into ungodly pleasures. You have sacrificed your arrival, sacrificed your manifestation on the bed of pleasure. See, look at me. If everybody will sleep in peace in that family, one man must be awake. If the alien army will not override them, one person must be keeping the watch. It is in the plan of God that the people will not be left without a watchman. In every family, you'll be sleeping like this. Sometimes it is even the youngest child. The Holy Ghost will just go and open his eye and say, I saw that we were crying. I saw that they hang the picture. Then the mother will say, shut up! You, your own, you're always in batting. It is the only eye that can see. Every other person is blind. And in the day where a watchman saw something and tried to declare it, the carnal nature will still say, shut up! Because they love to hear only the things that please them. After 1 year, they hung that obituary in the same place the little boy saw it. That little boy is 1 year ahead of them. His sight capacity, he looked into a year to come and declared it. But they were not ready to prosecute the war they should engage. Every family, listen, I'm begging somebody still. God must lift a man. God must bring help. The challenge is that not too many can receive from God. You know, I shared an illustration and I'll do it again. Have you tried to collect something from the phone of your friend? Tried, your friend was willing to share maybe a video content or a beautiful song or something, and they wanted to send it to you, and then your phone now gave you a feedback that memory not sufficient. So the challenge is that you don't have capacity to collect it. It was Jesus' ordeal too. He says, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. The men who would become conduits to bring the dimensions of God into time, they are not available. Everybody is living for himself. Everybody is choked with one kind of blockade or another. So God will send things, but it will never enter the earth. You know that he sent it because in the visions of the night, the encounters continue to you what God wants to do through your life. But physically, you are never in that position to command that level of deliverance. How long are you the one who is to come, or should they wait for another? And for many people, time is going. You are here to dry the tears of a people, but you too have come to join the problem because you have refused to submit yourself as a living sacrifice. In Romans chapter 12 verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the Lord, that you present your bodies. The only way is to secure this particular alignment of your body so that God can use you as an entrance to enter the world, because it is a world of men. God must find a man before he can participate in the three-dimensional world. And so if men are not available, no matter what God wants to do, it will remain in the heavens until God finds a man. Will God find a man over your family today? Will God find a man over Calabar? Will God find a man over every family represented here? Because God is looking for a man. When you become faithful in the little that they pass through you. Hey. I read in the Revelations again. The Apostle John the Beloved, he met a man again on another occasion. He bent down to worship him because he saw the glory of the man. The man says, see that thou do it not. Another person again. He says, I am your fellow brethren from the company of them that bear the testimony of Jesus. I saw that there are those in the kingdom above who holds the hallowed knowledge of the Christus. We have those who are people who declare the word of God. It's not only on earth that you have teachers, you have also teachers there. They keep the hallowed testimony of Jesus. And in the day when they want to judge you and rate your work, they will not come and keep you among men. They will keep you among all workers, both spiritual workers and physical workers. They will check your level of faithfulness. Your comparison is not just men. Even angels are part of the competition. I hope a generation can cry this night and ask the Lord, rid me of every corruption. I know you want to do something strange in this land. I know you want to ride into different situations and circumstances. There are people here. Listen. I'm begging you. Before we pray, one of the ways to know exactly what God has designed you to perform upon the face of the earth, it is the peculiar challenge that continues to locate you. No matter how you hide, you will sit down like this. And people with strange cases of captivity, different layers and different shades of captivity, they will locate you and you cannot hide, because it is the light of ordination that is referring them to you. Something is like a signboard in the world of spirits telling them, go to this one. And the one they are sending to has not decided to wake up yet. He is still sleeping. Although he is sleeping, they know that by this time you ought to be fruitful. So they start sending people to you as a wake up call. You are sitting down, nothing in your account. Yet people come and say, please borrow me. They are even looking more smartly dressed than you. It is ordination. Something upon their head convinced them. Something that men cannot see has persuaded them that upon you is the capacity to quench the hunger of many. He will sit down like this, and the brother will come and start sharing intimate details, things that a man should be ashamed to share, and say, "My brother, this is my challenge. I don't know. I don't even know why I'm telling you. Brother, I tell you why they are sharing with you. It is ordination that is crying for expression. Because whether you are ready or not, in the day of thy power, thy people shall be willing." Suddenly they will begin to come from every corner. "Hey, woe betide you that the day of your power came, but you didn't know." They will come. Challenge will come. Listen, whether David was prepared or not, Goliath will show up. "Woe betide Israel that a Gentile man came and defied the army of the Lord, and there was no David." He will sit down like this. People will come and say, "My sister, my marriage, I don't understand it." And from one to another. I'm not talking about, you know, once in a while. You will know when it is an area of anointing, when God continues to insist that, "Go and meet this one." Some of you, anywhere you see a sick person, you begin to feel responsible. And it's not your fault. You don't even know how they got into their situation. That feeling of guilt that is in your heart, it is ordination. They know that upon your head is the capacity to command deliverance in this situation. It's just unfortunate that you have not allowed God ride you to command deliverance in this. So the more you see the sick people, you become depressed. Mind you, not everybody sees that situation and are depressed. Some people will walk past it because it is not an area of their ordination. They don't have any business. You can call some people in the night and they'll busy the call and sleep. And they say, "I'm not the one that died on the cross." It is simple like that for them. But there are other people, because of the layer, because of the burden of ordination, they cannot turn back to the cry of a person. Anybody in distress, their whole life begin to be put under pressure because they are inside time for that particular purpose. What is the purpose you have been ignoring? They have tried to wake you up, you are ignoring it. They are trying to use the challenge and the ordeal of men to wake you up, you are still ignoring it. Some of you, they held you as a baby, and all kinds of prophecy. This is the light of this family. They started calling you pastor from a small age. And look at you. Look at you. Just look at you. Are we going to continue like this? Continue doing our thing. Continue doing anything we like, and eventually appear there as self-centered men. You never did the work of He that sent you. I know a lady serving in NYC in Kaduna. They posted her to Kaduna. She is currently paying the school fee of 3 primary school students with Alawi money, Alawi, NYC allowance. Man of God, she saw them hawking during school hours and asked them, "Are you not supposed to be in school? Normal. The people say, their parents say they don't have money to pay for school again, that they should come and be selling something. There were many other people that were calling them to buy the thing on their head. Another person cannot turn back on their ordination. You see that type? It is under her God will gather the poor. That is an accurate kingdom financier. The wealth of the kingdom will pass through her. You say that you know what you will do when God bless you. It is He that is faithful in little. God knows your heart. He sees what you did with that little supply He brought. He saw how you were able to stretch it. You made sure the tears of the poor was dried. I saw her that day, and when I see people who walk with God, there is a beauty beyond what eyes can see that I perceive. How many things are you intentionally trying to harden your heart so that you will not respond to the calling, the beckoning of ordination? You are trying to just, you know, remove your mind. And say in this world, in fact, be careful. Be careful the way you are helping people. You are here to help people. Maybe we want to pray now. And the prayer point is one. everything that has enshrouded my purpose, everything that has blocked your capacity to walk through me, everything that has defiled me and made me unfit to bear your presence, everything that has made me unfit to command deliverance for my clan. Hey. Hey, yeah, yeah. 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 You are the Holy Ghost. 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 Take your place. Take your place. Take your place. Take your place, have your way, have your way, have your way. Wherever you are, wherever you are, can you just hold the hands of someone by your side and say, oh God, set us on fire until everything you have not planted upon our vessels are purged. Set us on fire until that which defies is uprooted. Set us on fire until we become vessels communicating your will to our generation. I know I am more than this. I know I am more. So much more than this. I am the answer to the cry of many generations. I awake to my ordination. I arise to my call. I am the light of this place. I know Jesus wants to set me on fire, so that darkness can be dispelled. I answer my call. When that beckoning will come again, who will I send? Who will go for us? Let your response be, here am I. Send me. Send me. Who will deliver my message to Pharaoh? Here am I. Send me. Who would bring my people out of captivity? Here am I. Send me. Are you praying now? Listen, please, you may be seated. You may be seated briefly. Before we pray, I want to show us something that we will use as a basis for our prayer. John chapter 14 verse 2. The Bible speaking in John 14 verse 2, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Is it projected? He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. Look at me, everybody. I need your attention. When you subject that scripture to analyze the contents thereof. Some things will sound ungrammatical, but Jesus did not make any mistake. He said, in his father's house, singular, inside his father's house are many mansions. The first thing to probe there is that normally a mansion is more magnificent, is more elaborate, more luxurious than a house. You should not be having mansions inside house. It's not supposed to be so. If there should be anything, there should be houses inside mansion. But Jesus put it that way. And the reason behind it was because of where he was going to. He made that statement because he was heading to the cross. So he told them, I'm going to go and prepare a place. Mind you, as many as the people be on the face of the earth, God still had a challenge with vessel. And so Jesus was the only house of God. Jesus knew that. And so he was trying to disabuse the thinking of his disciples from thinking that that temple building that they saw there was the house of God. So he told them, destroy this temple and I will build it up, raise it up after 3 days. Because he knows that his body was the only true temple that God had. The Holy Ghost could not enter and possess anybody because of all kinds of blockade. And so that one house said, inside this my father's house, there are many mansions. I'm going now to prepare a place for you. Why did he call himself a house and called us mansions? Because he says, greater things than him shall we do. And the truth of the matter is, he knows that if the father sacrificed that one house, he will reap many mansions. It is until a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die. He knows that there is an accommodation challenge. God needs vessel. But he knows that if he can die, if he goes to that particular place he was going to, the cross, the father will reap many mansions. I need everybody to know that our ordination sitting here is to wield very remarkable dimensions of God. Don't settle, don't accept mediocrity, don't accept the normal. You are supposed to command supernatural dimensions of God. The question I have before you pray, what particular dimension of God is your life known by? Are there people that carry the favor of God and we can see that if it's this one, you have favor on your head? Are there people that carry the love of God? Love is a dimension, you can carry it. It can be flowing into time through you. That the most you know, rejected of situations, God link those ones to those kind of people who are embodiment of love. They don't believe, they cannot believe that they are accepted, because all other quarters shut the doors at them. Who are those that carry the dimension of God as power? Because like I said, God has sacrificed a house and he must reap mansions. It will not be in our generation that the investment of God will be a waste. And I have decided, it is my personal, plea. I have decided God's investment will not waste in my life. You know the good thing? God cannot sow Jesus and reap anything less than him. So the kind of life you are living so far, you are underperforming. This is not your true capacity. What went down for you to have your life is the true stock, a pure seed. He says, I planted you a noble vine. A noble vine. He says, how hast thou become a degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? How? In a night like this, you will look for one space, just you. Don't let anybody distract you. Anybody by your side that don't want to pray is their business. You didn't come with them. With time, what we pressed into will show. Just like the servant of God said earlier, this meeting will not see the effect tomorrow, not even today. People can be shouting here and their mind is not even here. You will see those who have touched certain layers of truth that has affected their consecration. You will see it in the subsequent days ahead. You will look for a spot. You will need to flog out something. you will need to insist, Lord, what dimension of your glory must my life carry? I refuse to die without glory. I refuse to exit time. I don't want to be known. I continue to tell my people, I don't want to be known outside power. I don't want people to talk about me. Just go and type. Just type any topic, sir. Type it online and see the myriads of messages. Our challenge is not revelation again. There's so much. So much. In fact, this coming Sunday, there's still many things that will be shared. We are bankrupt of power, but we are still talking. And this Sunday, we are still planning to still talk. We are not planning to act. We want to be talking. The plan is to be talking all the time. And nobody can reveal God. You only reveal when that thing that flowed from the celestial realm can pass through you. How can it pass through you when you are not a vessel unto honor? The first labor of prayer this night is for God to consecrate us as vessels for his use. Kill appetites, kill inclination, kill proclivities, everything that continues to draw me towards pollution. Lord, uproot it. Number two, so that I don't interrupt your prayer, you are going to ask the Lord, what dimension of your glory must my life carry? You must carry a dimension of God. Are you ready to pray? Please look for a spot. The instrumentalist will just you will play. Just play a sound. Everybody will pray. Are you ready? Oh Lord. Oh Father. Oh Father. Don't let me waste. Don't let me waste. Don't let me waste. Don't let me waste. Don't let my life waste. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. Don't let me get in your way. Don't let me stand in the way. Don't let me obstruct your move. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Teach me the way of your presence, the way of your glory. Show me the way of your glory. I want more.
Your one prayer before we go is wake me up, wake me up. Wake me up. Awake thou that sleepest. Wake me up from the slumber that has come upon my generation. Holy Ghost, wake me up. If you are crying, cry now. If you are calling upon his name, call now.
For all, and he would share them generously this night. Many nameless, many faceless persons from the caves, the Lord is about to put his light of visibility upon your life so that you can effectively represent his interest, so that you can command deliverance to the mountains he will send you to. You are going back to challenge the things that have bedeviled you for years. You are going back. Saviors shall arise on Mount Zion, and they will judge the mountains of Israel. There will be a clash of mountains. But upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance.
What we have received is not our own. We too, we have received from others. We were once feeble men until help came. The Holy Ghost will begin to baptize. He will begin to baptize men into their ordinations. He will begin to unveil. He will begin to baptize by fire. Ushers, go around. Bring them out for us. Bring them out. We need to lay our hands on them. Bring them out. The Holy Ghost will begin to baptize by fire.
Jesus.
We unveil apostolic clans. We unveil apostolic horns. We unveil apostolic calls. By the fire of the Lord, I call on every prophet sleeping, everybody with the capacity to declare the hidden things of God to us. Let your eyes open. Let your ears open. By fire now. Please bring them out.
I can see his angels ascending everywhere. I see the Holy Ghost.
Oh.
Fixing lights again.
Oh, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, don't let them escape. Don't let them escape. Overshadow them.
Jesus.
Ushers, ushers, bring everybody under the anointing out. Bring them out.
Ascending everywhere. I see the Holy Ghost fixing lives again. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
I said, bring them out. There is fire here.
It is okay.
as a body without accurate sight and accurate perspective. We don't have men on the watchtower to declare to us the movement of the alien army. And now the rise of watchmen, the rise of gatekeepers. The Lord wants to fan altars. He wants to pour fire upon the altars. They will keep the watch hours. They will be our eyes. They will be our compass. Holy Ghost, from the back to the front, the left to the right, inside and outside, those following us online, watchmen, awake, 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 watchmen, awake, awake, awake. It's not emotional. It is a supply of the Spirit. It is only the Spirit that quickens. We are not exciting men. We are not trying to make men excited. We are commanding energies into men. Listen. The fire of restoration will hit this building now. Your eyes used to be a weapon. God set into time to give us a level of clarity as regarding the purposes and the intent of darkness concerning God's people. Now you have access into light, but you wake up and forget your dreams. You have been arrested. That gift has been attacked. Yes, you can see, but they will steal it from you before you wake up. Now the Holy Ghost wants to restore the capacity to retain your vision. The capacity to retain that which is revealed. Holy Ghost, arrest them now. Open their eyes. Open their ears. Clear that passage. By the fire of the Lord. By the fire of the Lord. Oh, watchman, awake! 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 Please bring them out! Awake! Yeah. have that is not given to us. Freely we have received. Freely tonight we too will give. Be rest assured. Be rest assured. We have the right quorum in this place to pass judgments. The apostolic order is complete. There are priests in this place. There are psalmists in this place. The apostolic quorum is complete. Anything we decide prohibited today is prohibited. We can pass laws today. The finger of God comes to identify ladies in particular. Ladies in particular, who will become priestess of the altar. Priestess of the altar. They will not be consumed by the vanity of this generation. A spirit will separate them from that vanity, from that lifestyle of vanity, and they will press until they touch God. After the order of Catherine Kuhlman, after the order of Maria Woodward Eater, let us talk awake. Let us talk awake. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Begin to touch them now. Let that vanity be broken from their souls. What I see is an unleashing of the influence of the kingdom. Influence. But it will be on the shoulders of many women now. You will no longer use your bodies. Your bodies will no longer be gateways to hell. Your bodies will no longer be gateways to hell. It is the rise of a new priesthood. You will no longer be consumed by vanity. That hold is broken. On their life. Don't leave this meeting until you have touched that fragrance. We are wearing different fragrance of the glory of God. Help that sister, please. Help that sister. Let her not injure herself. whatever you desire now. Whatever you desire upon our lives. Go ahead and start praying. It will soon fall. It will soon fall. Whatever you like. Whatever you desire. Upon our lives. Go ahead and start praying.
Servant, there is a matter I saw that I want to address. Listen, I need your attention to address it so that you don't miss your own visitation. You continue to see encounters where scenarios play out in that encounter that necessitates motion. But you find out that your person in that encounter has difficulty moving their feet. Your feet becomes too heavy. You are trying to run, but you cannot make motion in that encounter. You cannot make motion. Wherever you are, come. Come. Find your way. Come. I'm waiting for you. Come. It's difficult. Difficult to advance. Difficult to move. There is need for movement, but you can't. Come. I know you are here. Come. Come. OK.
okay. See, the front cannot take it. The front cannot take it. So, where you are, those of us that have not made our way to the front, raise your hand above your head. My God. Look at. This is a particular attack, an affront of darkness. I'll tell you what Satan has done. The fire of separation. It will come upon your feet. It will begin to break fetters. It will begin to burn off everything that has hindered your journey, your movement, your progress. Everything that has limited your ability to walk with God. I'm trying to address that matter from the root. You will find that many other areas of your life will begin to enjoy ventilation. Because your feet have been set loose. Holy Ghost, you who have revealed, now set them free by your fire. Begin to loose, begin to break chains, begin to set people free now, even by the hand of the Spirit of God. Holy Ghost.
Glory to God! We trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/AnacazoMissionInternational.AMI or join us on our Telegram channel at Anacazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.